So did you end up having that nap?
No, I thought better of it. I thought 15 minutes of a nap before recording a podcast, it's probably a recipe for disaster.
You know the way when you work in breakfast radio, all you do is talk about naps?
Yes.
One of my most epic naps was, I used to live in Stepside and the beauty salon was a 5 minute walk or drive away. So I had an appointment at 5 and it was 10 to 5.
No.
And I was lying on my bed and I set my alarm for 5 minutes and I had a nap. And I went fully asleep.
Did you make it on time?
Yeah. The shortest nap of my life.
That is true. I know from working in radio the true value of a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. And you can get so much done in those precious seconds if you put your mind to it. Okay, well, if there's no naps going on, we may as well record a podcast.
So we are delighted that this season of Soul Sisters is brought to you by Colgate Max Wide Ultra. I've just been doing a clear out of my spare room, and in the spare room, I have a drawer full of Colgate products. So I was just making sure they were all ready for Christmas, taking things out of their packets, ready to give out to my friends and family, because we all know by now that Colgate is our favorite toothpaste brand, because unlike regular whitening toothpaste that only remove surface stains, Colgate Max White Ultra's unique formula goes beyond the surface to remove deep stains and deeply whiten your teeth in just 3 days.
Colgate Max White Ultra's whitening technology has been backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works, and it helps you feel radiant, confident, and empowered in those all-important moments in your life when you want to smile like you mean it.
Oh, and I feel like smiling, and I really mean it right now, because it's been a while since I saw you. This week's podcast, I have no Tally, as in Tally's in the other room with her father, and you are back from India.
I'm sipping tea furiously because obviously India is 5.5 hours ahead. And I got back on my favorite airline, Virgin, to fly back from Delhi on Saturday night into Sunday morning. So I got on the flight at 2:40 a.m. Saturday night, and I arrived back in Heathrow at 7 a.m. this morning.
So the big, big, huge question. Have you been to cut the mustard?
I didn't know why you're going to ask me there. Do you know what? I have not. I have had 2 weeks without coffee, and also countless conversations with people on the retreat, and also more importantly, the guru, about things that negative addictions and negative habits. And he was saying, if there's something that really is ruling you rather than you ruling it, you need to address it. So the example he gave was LinkedIn. And he said, I got addicted to LinkedIn.
The guru.
So he's putting up these incredible articles, right, with all of his wisdom. And he said he was checking every couple of hours to see how many people had seen it and if he'd gone viral. He's a very modern guru.
This, I love when gurus are normal.
Well, this guy is run-of-the-mill, social media-fied guru in Delhi. So yeah, he said, look, if there's something in your life that you really, you are doing a lot and it's not good for you, you should address it. And I came home today, got a lift home from my friend David, and I thought to myself, I'll just nip up the road now. And then I thought, no. I will not. I've had 2 weeks without decaf coffee. Decaf! I drink decaf, for crying out loud. So I have, look, I'm not making any promises, okay? Because you're just going to come back at me now in a couple of weeks' time and go, hey, you said. But for now, after 2 weeks of no caffeine or no decaf, I'm not drinking it.
Good for you. I was just thinking there for a second, what rules me?
Yes.
You know, that's a good thing to think about. What rules me? And something that came up for me, and I've spoken about it before, that I've really tried to work on in, well, it was mainly a 2022 thing, was assumptions about Jamie. And just being completely honest, it wasn't coffee. Well, maybe it is a bit of coffee. I was going to say I love a taco, but I wouldn't say tacos rule my life because they're healthy and that's okay, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But the guru let me be ruled by a soft shell taco, black beans.
He'd be into black bean tacos, yeah.
Okay, good. So assumptions. When I stopped assuming things about Jamie, and I think we can all work on this in our lives, if we stop assuming things about our colleagues or our partner, our mothers, our fathers, it really sets you free.
So give us an example then of the assumptions that you were making around Jay.
So if, and I spoke about this on the September reset, I got a lot of feedback about it. So if there was a pile of laundry in the hall and Jamie just stepped over it, I would assume that he's just leaving that to me. He doesn't care. He can't see me. He is selfish. But many a time, Jamie was stepping over the laundry in the hall to go do the garden or cut the grass, or he was on his way to a chore. Whereas I'd assume in that moment that he is, you know, I don't know, I'd be so annoyed.
That's valuable, you know.
So just to give it a beat and just say, hey, Jamie, what are you up to? And more often than not, he'd say, I'm going to do an email. I'm going to do something for Pia. I'm going to do something for the greater good of the house. And instead of me lashing out and saying, what the hell are you walking past the washing for? You're leaving it to me again. Just question it first.
And don't like pass-ag shout at him as he steps over. You're just going to step over that laundry there, yeah? Good on you.
I'm so glad I chose you. I was sitting on the couch the other day, our really small couch. Someone was like, send us a picture of the couch. Our temporary couch. But I was sitting there beside him. I was like, God, like, geez, we've put in a good stint here. Like, my nephew is 12 this week and I can remember him being born. And I was with Jamie. Oh, like 13 years, maybe more. But I was thinking, we're so lucky that we really like each other because that is a long time.
Yeah, it is. And you are lucky that you like each other slash sometimes love each other. You know, that's great. I love you.
So, okay, well, let's get back to the guru and your experience. Well, let's, first of all, did you sleep on the plane?
I did actually. And I must say I had a wonderful trip home and it was such a good way to do it because I took advantage of those 5.5 hours and I was, you know, arriving back into Heathrow at 7 a.m. this morning. I was like, yes, I have the whole of Sunday. And because I got on the plane at 2:40 a.m., I had a chat with my mate David, who was on with me, and we talked for about an hour, and then both of us were like nodding dogs and we drifted off to sleep. We had a seat, we had seats that were economy delight, not quite premium economy and not actual economy. And boy, oh boy, like David, okay. David is 6'4" and he was delira with the leg room.
So he was delighted in economy delight.
Excuse the pun. Yes, he was. So the two of us slept for about 6 hours and I then woke up and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I haven't touched the movies. I'm just going to have a quick glance at the map, see where we are. Wasn't Tbilisi. And then I headed down to the galley just to see if there was any chance of a snack. And woohoo, straight in, no kissing. Salt and vinegar crisps and some shortbread biscuits were all mine.
Nice. So when you get off the plane, I think that's a kind of nice time, I think, mentally to get off a plane because I hate arriving in late at night and you don't want to be arriving in at like 4 a.m. So 7 a.m. feels like a fresh start, a new day.
That's what we said, actually, as we were totally in flow. So like, you think to yourself, you're coming back from a spiritual retreat, pilgrimage in India. You're thinking to yourself, I have countless blessings and it's time that they worked for me. And we walked out into security, flew through, not a bother, walked in, passport control, out, how's your father, out the door. There's a bus that says Long Stay Car Park. And it stopped right in front of the building. We got in it, straight to the car park. And then we left Heathrow. And within 25 minutes at, 8 a.m. in the morning, we were back at my gaff.
Oh, nice. Here's a little action for the Soul Sisters this week. This is something I also spoke about in the September Reset, Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights. And he describes like green lights as like those moments that are really working for you or something's really good in your life and it's like a green light. But call them out. Like when you see something this week that's working for you, just say green lights. And if you say it out loud, you realize how much is going for you. So you might say it 4, 5, 6 times a day. And by the end of the week, you're like, geez, got a lot of green lights this week.
That's a great idea. I think that's one of, what's his name? Big, huge guy.
Tony Robbins.
Yeah. He says the same thing. He's like, the world is working for you. You just have to get into flow with it. And like Matthew McConaughey says, picking up those little moments of gratitude. Get to the end of the week and you're like, oh my God, I'm such a winner.
Yeah, take notice. Yeah. Because the big things may not be working for you. Maybe in a year where you're getting a lot of big red lights, but just start counting the small little green lights. And eventually, as Matthew McConaughey says, your red lights turn green. So a big red light in my life was my cancer diagnosis. Mm. Huge red light. Now, 5, 6 years later, that light's turned green for me.
Well, that's amazing. That is so special. My little green light when I walked in the door today was, have I got anything that I can eat?
Oh,
if I go up the road, the likelihood is we'll swing by, cut the mustard and it's all over. So that butternut squash I swore I'd roast a few weeks ago, that's still in there. Mm-hmm. And it's still as hard as it was the day it arrived in the odd box. So that's that's getting roasted. And then what else was in the, mm-hmm. in the fridge? Oh, half of my wonky cucumber was in there. But boy, oh boy, was she a fluffy shade of white.
I was thinking, what sort of cucumber would last that long?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what did last? What was the cockroach of the carbohydrate family? A pita bread, one sole brown pita bread in its packet in the fridge. So synthetic, it's like a burger from the Golden Arches. It was absolutely perfect.
So did you eat it?
Yeah, so I bought some eggs in M&S on my way out of Heathrow and I made 3 fried eggs and I used some of that. Remember the Ballymaloe relishes that we were sent?
Ooh, nice.
The pepper one.
Oh,
it was delicious.
So 3 fried eggs.
3 fried eggs, some pepper, some Ballymaloe pepper relish, and also some pickled onions that I found in a jar, which had lasted 3 weeks.
Beautiful. I actually think we need to dive into our fridges more often instead of just going, oh, it's Monday, I do the weekly shop. And then you go off and you buy a whole load of new food. See if you can get an extra day out of what's in your fridge.
Well, that's what Richard Corrigan was on Dish podcast lately. And he said every so often he'll do that with his family. And he's like a Michelin star chef. And he'll be like, okay, we're having a clear the fridge. I don't know what he called it, a clear the fridge supper. And he'll just go in and whatever's in there, like the kids all balk at him and go, ugh. But he's like, we got to see what's in there. We got to use what's in there.
Yeah, that's where I heard this, your podcast Dish.
Actually, speaking of Dish, can I just talk about Gordon Ramsay?
49 years of age, Tana, his wife, had their sixth child.
Jesse James. Just like Jesse James. I want to just draw your attention, because as you're a Dish super fan, did you notice in his interview, he said, and Tana wants another one.
Yes.
She was 7 months pregnant at that stage.
Unbelievable. Do you know that she's Victoria Beckham's best friend?
Yeah, I do know that they're good pals. Yeah.
Besties. 49, she had her sixth baby and he's 57.
That's amazing. He is. I honestly, from talking to Angela Hartnett and also just from my experience of him briefly for that hour and a half he was in, he's such a great dad. And you mentioned, was it last week you mentioned that great advice he gave, which was the earlier you tell me, the more I can do. What I was interested in, because I was looking at the picture of Tana and it looks like she did give birth, but I mean, she's been in hiding, I assume, if she's been, nobody knew she was pregnant, or was it surrogacy, or what's the story?
Well, I did go for a little look because I was like, maybe it could be surrogacy, but I don't think so. I think she said something like, I went into her page and she said, kind of, we held our breath for 9 months because they did lose a child a couple of years ago during her pregnancy. So she implied that she did carry herself. And I love kind of looking through the comments, who wished them well? You know, is Victoria Beckham there? Yeah. Is all still, because they haven't posted a picture together in a while. Victoria Beckham wished them well. Guess who else wished them well? Jamie Oliver.
Oh.
Now, don't him and Gordon have a bit of beef? Is that real? Is that real kind of rivalry they have, or do they ham it up? I actually genuinely think they don't like each other.
I think it's all hamability, to be honest, because certainly from Gordon's point of view, it, you know, he knows in social media terms and you know, the more beef in inverted commas he has, the better he does. But Jamie Oliver is an absolute legend. I heard a really good interview actually with him, if you're into Jamie or if you like to hear him talking really honestly and candidly about his life, because, you know, everything went well for him and then he got famous and then life sort of, you know, his businesses went south and he had a tough time. He's on Kirsty Young's podcast, Young Again, and Jamie Oliver is just super honest about fame. And I won't give away the line, but it was really interesting what he said about fame and whether he'd do it all again. The last time I spoke to you, I was talking about, I'd been through kind of a tough enough time on my journey in India, just in terms of really clearing some grief around the loss of my friend. And I was staying for 2 weeks. So I was on one trip with one group and then another group came in. And so I came back to Delhi and then went back up into the Himalayas again. So I spent an awful lot of time on the bus. And for someone who likes to spend a lot of time alone, there was times where I was kind of overwhelmed by the group, I guess. Because, you know, you're sharing a bedroom and you're on the bus for like hours and hours and hours. And it was testing and trying at times. But in those situations, when you're on these retreats, whatever comes up for you is a valuable lesson. You know, so you can kind of flip it and say, oh, that's interesting. I got triggered by this person talking about that. Or, I didn't have much patience in that moment with that person. Wonder what that's all about. The guru gave some sage advice that I wanted to give you. So he said, have faith and trust in your life and your future. And that seems like a fairly run-of-the-mill sentence. But actually, when I sat back and thought, like, do I trust that, for instance, I'm going to meet somebody one day, like a really lovely person? That was a maybe. I could have more trust and faith in that. Do I have trust and faith that I will be a success in all of the ways that I would like to be? Again, wasn't so sure. So I kind of sat with that for the week and said, you know, rather than the negative self-talk and maybe the worry and anxiety around what's to come in future, be a little bit more gung-ho. Yeah.
Trusting.
Be selfish, he said. Live for yourself and not for other people. Put yourself first.
I had a big week of surrendering
Did
this
you?
Week. So I was part of that Going for Growth women in business, like women who started their own business. And one of our team members, Sinead Keary, had a huge party coming up, and it was a big celebration of the incredible work that she's done for 3 years. Everyone in the group was going. This was like our reunion. So I did my tan, got my hair done, did all the bits. And then at 2 o'clock, I was like, I can't go. Oh. I just put into the group and I was like, guys, I've tried and tried all day to get there, but I just can't. And then you have the guilt. Then you have to work on that because it's easier to go. But when you surrender and when you say, I can't do something, then you feel like you're letting other people down. So then you have to sit with that, right?
Although if I saw a message come in on a WhatsApp group and said, I've tried and tried and tried and I just can't get there, I would think, you do you, sister.
Yeah. And that's the response I got.
So that was good then. You put yourself first and you surrendered. Because you know what? That's the thing. Doesn't matter how good you look, how good you feel, in inverted commas, when you get there and you're standing there sipping a glass of bubbles, when you should be having like good, wholesome chats with other women in business, you're just going to be thinking, A, B, C, D, didn't get that done, should have done that, wonder if Jamie's going to do that.
I mean, that's how I operated for 12 years of my life. So I'm listening. So that's great from the guru. That lines up with my week.
And funny enough, I had Jerry Hussey's first book with me on the trip, and the guru talked a little bit about anxiety. And I was also reading a section in Jerry's book about anxiety. So I was like, this is worth just bringing up again on this pod, right? So anxiety is a very natural response to unresolved trauma or unresolved fear. It's a signpost to go deeper. So a lot of people talk about living with their anxiety. Like, oh, just my anxiety was bad, or that I had a bad week of anxiety, or that was my anxiety. Your anxiety is not your cat, you know, or your anxiety is not your handbag. You know, you don't have to keep a hold of it, feed it and keep it alive. You know, it's not a sign of a defective mind. It's an overwhelmed nervous system that's out of balance from years of negative self-talk and rejection. So if you can address that, you can actually put anxiety out the door.
Oh, I love it. And one of the greatest things I learned this year was from that big guy's wife, Tony Robbins, when she said, your triggers are coming up because they're screaming at you to go deeper and address them.
So that was, the last thing is, I'll just show you my wrists. So, you know.
So I was looking at you through the camera and I was like, Claire Solon screams of someone who's come home from holidays because you've got loads of new accessories on. And I love that. I used to love going away and spending time with myself and go. It's like you get to connect with who you really are and you have time and space to browse. And what do I actually want to wear? What do I want to put on my body? And it's so good to see you decked out in new accessories. So tell us about them.
Red and yellow sacred thread bracelets, which me and the group got from Hindu priests in the temples that we visited. So basically they tie them in a knot around your wrist on your left or your right, depending on the blessing or depending on the temple. And when they fall off naturally, then that blessing comes true or that prayer has been answered.
God, I love that.
So one of the women I was sharing with, Bernie, said to me after 2 days, she was like, Claire, look, it's gone. It fell off. Yeah.
That was quick.
That was quicker than quick. But this is truly my, like, you know, gap year or J1 or you pray love bracelets. Yeah. So just a little bit of evidence that I actually was as far away as I was for the last few weeks. I must have done a little bit of scrolling on my pilgrimage, and you and some of the New York Passé were up in Marley Park, like drowned rats.
Oh, we had the best time. We did a little run, a little training run for New York. A great bunch. We are going to have so much fun. So there's 150 runners on Team Good Glow. We've got 180 people coming to New York with us. And the run, the half marathon, is on Paddy's Day. God.
That is wild.
So twice a year, Times Square is shut down. And we are, the New York half is on one of those days. So you literally run through Times Square. I'll actually put a link in the show notes if anyone wants to join our waiting list for next year or our mailing list for next year. We have so many cool people coming. Like people radiating positivity on our first training run. And I came home and I was like to Jamie, I am on cloud nine after that. So we did a little thing at the end where I went around and I asked everyone one word to describe how they were feeling after the run. And my word was connected. And I really needed that.
That's so lovely. I have so much FOMO.
Listen, there's a place for you there. Always a place for you there.
One of those. Like, I really, really do want to be a runner again. But I, you know, I've got a litany of excuses. First one being one of my knees is a little bit dicky at the moment. But I still like to buy the gear just in case, you know, the notion takes me. And I just bought one of those braces or those things you put around your body.
Running vests.
So like you can put your phone in there and you can put your key in there and stuff. And, you know, gone are the days where you have to strap the phone onto your arm.
Yeah. Or shove it down your hip or something.
So the gear is all the gear, but no idea basically over here.
Well, listen, do you know what I think you'd suit? So we are looking at other cities in the States and we're looking at one in Chicago. And I feel like that's a real
city. That is a real me city because I spent the summer of 2001, I was in Chicago. Yeah.
Okay. Chicago might be calling you. Let's get that running vest on and see where it takes you. So, okay. I wanted to talk to you about Christmas.
Okay.
Did you feel like when you came into Heathrow, there was a different energy in the air?
There was no Christmas decorations that I saw in arrivals, which is where you would expect them to be.
I think it's nice to think about what energy you want around you this Christmas, because I think sometimes it just lands on top of us and you're just in everyone else's Christmas plans. You have to go to this thing. It's so frantic. And you're like, what about my Christmas? So I think a really nice thing for people this November would be to think about what way do I want my Christmas to go this year? So I was looking at some feng shui because we want to get the energy right in our homes. And I have five gorgeous little feng shui Christmas tips that I think will create really nice energy in your home. So the first one is, and this is from sheknows.com. I'll link the article in the show notes. So they say, hang garlands and lights so they sway and smile. So in a kind of U shape, decorate with ends that don't hang down. So, you know, the end of your garland might hang down. You need to pin it up and you'll create some good vibes in your home. They say decorate at eye level to lift the vibe in your house. So number two on the list is overhead lighting exclusively can deplete the energy. I don't know about you, Claire, but when I come home in the evening and all the main lights are on, I feel really stressed. So holiday candles and side lamps are a must. The third one, go green. Green is the color of healing. Did you know that?
I knew it was a heart chakra color. Interesting.
Green balances out the fire or heat from your red decorations. So they say, consider hanging garland over your entryway outside to ward off negative energies and invite in good luck and joy into your home. Number four, this is something we could all try. So it's called collaborate. Welcome people to your house by asking them to add a decoration to your tree. So you have a little box of decorations in your hall, and as they come through the door, they take one each and add them to your tree, which I thought was such
That's
a lovely idea.
A really beautiful idea, especially for people who have extended family and kids and stuff. Like, giving them an opportunity to come in and put something on the tree is lovely.
And as well, if you live alone and you decorate your tree by yourself every year, like I know last year you were saying you didn't do a tree because you were coming home for Christmas. So if you had a little box at your entryway and then people just add something, you don't feel like it's, oh, why would I bother having a tree? I live by myself. It's something for people to do
Lovely
when they come
idea.
To your home. And number five, okay, this is one for us all. Too much color, food, sound, activity can have a numbing effect. Weed out the decorations you don't love. Wait a little longer to decorate your tree. And when Christmas gets too much, regroup. Unplug from the holiday rush at least for 10 minutes a day. Take a walk outside every single day without fail.
That's great. I think you can get massively overstimulated at a time like Christmas. So paring it back and remembering what is at the core of it is good.
I know I told you that obviously when someone new comes into your world, they teach you so much. And Tali, we call her DND, Do Not Disturb, because she likes she likes to be calm. It's funny, I didn't notice this with Pia. I don't know if she was the same or not. Maybe I'm just more aware now. But Tali can't cope with overstimulation. If the TV's on, if Pia's chatting, if I'm chatting to Jamie, if there's lots of things going on, she gets really, really unsettled. So much so that every time she's going to sleep, I have to bring her to the bedroom and soothe her. And
many things are coming to my mind here. First thing that's coming to my mind is we need to get on to her surrogate mama and find out if there was a lot of silence in the mm-hmm. home. Like, did she make sure that actually there wasn't loud noises and distractions and stuff around?
I definitely need to ask her. You know, she was grown inside
exactly
her.
Like I think I said to you before, but this always fascinated me, the sound of football commentary was really soothing to me. And my sister, not for my sister, she hates it, but my parents were always watching, you know, watching football, and they'd watch Match of the Day on Saturday evenings. And my mum actually went into labor with me while they were watching Match of the Day. I honestly think that I was probably sitting in the womb going, you know? Okay, let's talk toothpaste, my friends. Colgate Max White Ultra is a toothpaste with clinically proven unique technology that actually does whiten your teeth in just 3 days. And better yet, it's safe for your enamel. With Colgate, you can feel confident and empowered for the ultra smile moments in your life. So, Georgie, your turn this week.
Okay. Ooh, I've been so excited to tell you this. So remember a couple of weeks ago, we were on the pod and I was saying that sometimes I exercise on YouTube, mute the instructions and listen to a podcast at the same time. Well, I took myself down to the gym. I enrolled in a class called Body Balance, which is a mixture of Tai Chi, Pilates and yoga. I walked into the class. I was like, oh, we're taking off our shoes and socks. This is a slow class. So we did it. I really enjoyed it. The time went really quickly. And then at the end, he said, okay, guys, we're going to sit down. We're going to meditate for 5 minutes. And I had that moment. Should I stay or should I go? So a few people rolled up their mats and out the door they went. And I said, you know what? If I leave now, I can get into the steam room, get into the little hot tub, have a lovely time and not feel under pressure to go home. And I said, cop yourself on. Lie down. Cop yourself on. So I lay down and I meditated for 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, I hugged myself and congratulated myself for taking a big step. And then I had three brilliant ideas for my business. And I was like,
In 5 minutes, you had three brilliant ideas. Imagine how many more are in there.
I know.
I was like, why? Why do we avoid the silence? The silence is there to make our life better.
You're going to go when I say this. But the answers to everything you're looking for, all of the questions of your mind, all of the things that can enhance your existence are inside you, waiting to come out.
I know. So I did it. I left the class and I thought to myself, that's it, well done. I came home and I have enrolled in a course, a Chopra course to become a meditation teacher. So I will keep you updated as I start week one of this 16-week course. And me and DND, Do Not Disturb, my little tally, are going to go on this little journey together in my maternity
leave. That is the best smile moment of the series so far. So live in the moment and be your most authentic self with thanks to Colgate Max White Ultra. Available in all major Irish retailers, subject to availability.
And on sale in Dunnes until December 5th for half price. So I'm excited to hear your recommends because I feel like you were on, you know, a 2 week serious elevation program. And surely you weren't, maybe you were sitting in silence for all those hours on the buses. Are you listening
to
things?
No, I actually wasn't listening to things. But you know what came knocking on my door again today on Instagram? And that's always my nudge to share it with you, Soul Sisters. Dr. Mindy Pels. So Mindy Pels is on the Diary of a CEO. Her episode was back in June and the episode is called The Miracle Doctor: Get Your Sex Life Back, Melt Belly Fat and Heal Your Injury. The reason this came back to me was because in India, in Hinduism in particular, they fast as devotion, in devotion to their deities. So they were talking, there was lots of conversations going on our trip about the particular kind of fasts people do, whether it's complete fast or whether it's just fruit on one day, or, you know, there's many, many options. So Mindy Pels has a book called Fast Like a Girl. Now, I know this can be a little bit triggering for women because you're hearing fasting and you're going, I'm not going to starve myself. That's not what I'm here for. But actually, What surprised me about this podcast and what made me listen to it a couple of times was the restorative benefits of a fast. Mm-hmm. So our body is constantly dealing with either digestion of food or sugar spikes. And because of that, our body can't actually get to work fixing itself, which is what it's been built to do.
Supposed to do.
So if you are going for long, like if you're intermittent fasting, for instance, and you get to a kind of a 16-hour window, that is when your body can say, hey, left arm needs some work, or hey, liver needs a cleanse, or, you know, toe on the right foot needs to be looked at. And your body can set about giving yourself healing and doing some great work in the absence of, you know, trying to digest meals constantly. You know, for a long time I was a grazer. So I was having five or six meals a day. And actually listening to Mindy, you do see that the longer you can leave between meals, the better for your body.
I listened to that podcast and then I was looking through my diary one day. Jamie said he put this podcast in with this doctor from the US and I was so busy with work that it didn't register with me. And then the week of the podcast, I was like, okay, I need to go like do my research. And I was like, that says Dr. Mindy Pels. Like, sorry. And I got to talk to her, I loved her. And the same thing, Claire, I said to her, why if I went into a bookshop and I saw the book Fast Like a Girl? I said, why would I buy that? Like, why would I buy just another diet book? Or is it? And she said, the first thing you need to know about fasting is that it's not a diet. And that podcast will be coming your way in the new year.
I really like her. And you know what it is as well? So when you're listening, sometimes listening to a podcast, it's like takeaways per podcast. Sometimes you get a few, but other times you get loads. And she is just somebody who can articulate in really clear and simple language the benefits of fasting, the reason what it can do for your hormones, what it can do for your menstrual cycle. She's just like, she's really superb.
Yeah, she is amazing. So I am going to recommend a podcast as well, because I was listening to this morning as I was doing a few bits in the house, and it's called Skin in the Game. It's a new Irish podcast by Elle Gordon, who is the ultimate soul sister. She has worked in journalism for years. She used to work in VIP magazine. She's a really, really special soul, but she's also very wise. And she has this podcast with Kel, who is the beauty editor of Social and Personal magazine. And if you're into your skin, so this is like earwigging on two of your mates who know more about skin than you do.
I'm into it.
And that's what we want. Little hacks, little skin hacks. What do you use? Why should we use the vitamin C? You know, what's your morning routine? So it's called Skin in the Game. We will obviously, of course, link in the show notes. If you're looking for two Irish girls talking about skin, this is the podcast for you.
Skin is one of my favorite things. I'm obsessed. From somebody who suffered from acne for years, I just love listening to skin conversations.
Yeah, and you have a beautiful glow at the moment, I must say. So that's it from this week of Soul Sisters. Claire, what are you up to this week?
Well, I'm going to be checking in with my dating crew and see how my Soul Sisters are getting on in our little dating coaching circle. And I have to go and organize that date with that guy, Sam, who's sitting in Hinge waiting for me to get in touch. So
exciting. Okay, well, we'll catch you next week. Soul Sisters, thanks so much. Don't forget to share our podcast in your WhatsApp groups if you enjoyed it. And we will see you next week.
See you then.